Listen to today's roster report on Special Teams. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's Friday, July 7th here at Gillette Stadium, and with only 3 weeks until training camp, everyone's taking their vacation. So we only have Brian Lowe and a special guest, Eric Scalvino, to talk about special teams today.
And thanks once again, Laurie. We are back with the Patriots Roster Report podcast for a Friday in July. It is 3 weeks to the day before the Patriots begin training camp 2006. I'm Brian Lowe, and I'm joined today by Eric Scalvino. Who is Eric Scalvino, you might ask? No, he's not Paul Perillo, not Andy Hart, not Tom Casale. All those guys are on vacation. I found Eric Scalvino. He was out practicing some kickoffs out in the hallway. Eric is one of the newest members of the crew here at Patriots.com, editing, producing Patriots Today with Laurie Baranski. You might be able to find it elsewhere on Patriots.com. And Eric, a very valuable addition to the staff. Welcome aboard,
Eric. Thank you very much, and I didn't even have to pay you to say that. That's great.
Well, you didn't get the bill yet. Okay.
No, not yet.
You'll find that in the mail later on today. But Eric's joining us today on the Roster Report podcast, and in addition to his duties, actually the duties that he has is with Patriots Today, editing, producing, sort of came about in an unconventional manner. He first joined the team as a kicker shortly after Adam Vinatieri left. Before they drafted Steven Gostkowski, and before they signed Martin Gramatica, Bill Belichick was looking through his Boston University football footage from
back
the
when they had a team.
Early 90s. And he found this kicker. And great, obviously, the Patriots need to have a kicker with a lengthy last name, sort of a non-mainstream last name. He saw this Scalvino, and he said, perfect. The guy can kick. He's got a long last name. There's a V in the last name.
Sure.
Similar to Vinatieri, let's bring him on. And so he brought him on.
For a brief period of time there, for about a week or two, I was the only kicker in working for the Patriots.
Now you might think we're joking, and we're joking about part of it, but Eric is a former college kicker.
That's right.
Are you not?
High school and college.
High school and college, Boston University. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, no, they don't have a team anymore.
But at one point they were in the Yankee Conference.
They even were pretty good. So, you know, Eric being here on the show today, we figured we'll talk about special teams, and specifically we're going to talk about the kicking situation because as we have discussed in recent months, there is a battle, I guess you could say, for the first time in quite a while. It's not just Adam Vinatieri being joined by a free agent college kicker who's just along for the ride for a week or two during training camp, give Vinatieri some breathers and get a few reps. We got two guys. It's sort of an open competition. I personally think that a fourth round draft pick, unless he completely implodes during training camp, is probably going to win the job. But there's still some question marks there. How do you see the kicker competition? And I guess what I want to know from you, being a kicker and knowing some of the technique, what are you going to be looking for as you watch training camp and watch these two guys kick to see who's going to make the team?
Yep. Well, it is going to be a battle. You said that already, and you're right. I mean, there's no guarantees that either one of these guys is going to get the job. They both have to battle for it. But there are a lot of things that you should look for. It's actually eerily similar to 10 years ago when Matt Barr, the veteran kicker, who was a longtime Bill Parcells favorite, played with him on the Giants and had a history with him, was the incumbent, and a young kid out of South Dakota, free agent named Adam Vinatieri, came to camp and, provide some competition. Before you know it, he's the kicker. Matt Barr is gone.
And that was really the last time there was any sort of competition at that position.
Pretty much. I mean,
for all intents and purposes,
there have been kickers that have come into camp.
Sure. They've even drafted. Didn't they draft a guy, or was that a punter?
They drafted a punter. A couple years ago, they drafted a punter.
No, Owen Pockman. Didn't they draft Owen Pockman? He never made the team. I think he kicked somewhere else. I could be. What?
He was in camp. I can't remember if he was drafted or if he was just a free agent. But yeah, there were times when, you know, there was someone to give Adam a spell during camp to give his leg a rest. But for the most part, there hasn't been anything for the last decade as far as that goes. But now you have a situation that's a lot like 10 years ago. You have, granted, Gramatica doesn't have the resume that Matt Barr did, but it's still pretty impressive. He has made a Pro Bowl, 2000.
And a Super Bowl champion.
Not many kickers can say that, especially, you know, ones that have been through this organization. And you have the rookie, Gostkowski, who has a pretty impressive college resume, you know, four-year starter.
At Memphis.
At Memphis. Yeah. But you have two. There are some similarities, but there are more differences between these two guys, and that's what I'm going to be looking for. Is who Belichick is going to be leaning on when it comes to, you know, crucial situations.
And some of the, you know, there will be at least two, maybe there's three games before the first roster cutdown date. Mm-hmm. And I think the final roster cutdown date is after all four games.
Right.
We don't know at this point whether the kicking competition will end at that first roster cutdown date, mm-hmm. the second roster cutdown date. Probably at training camp practices, we're not going to be able to see or get a true sense of what's going on. It's going to be more who gets the opportunities in these games, mm-hmm. who takes advantage of these opportunities. It'll probably be split. They've got a game 5 weeks from tonight in Atlanta.
Yeah, hard to believe, isn't it?
And we'll see who gets the first opportunity when there's an extra point or a field goal. But now, correct me if I'm wrong. A big part of this is pressure, nerves, how they handle this kind of pressure. We're never going to know that until a regular season game comes about. What is Belichick looking for when he's on the sidelines in these games and a 40-yard field goal comes up and he's throwing one of those guys out there?
Well, believe it or not, kickers can have a lot of pressure in preseason because in situations like this, they're battling for a job.
Right.
And you're only as good as the last field goal you made or missed. Mm-hmm. And that's, in a lot of ways, how you're judged. So these guys, you know, they both know that there's no guarantee either one of them is going to be here in September. So there is going to be a lot of pressure on every kick, extra point, field goal, you know, short field goal, long field goal, it doesn't matter, kickoff.
Even in training camp practices, I guess, too.
Absolutely, especially when there's no clear-cut favorite. And in this camp, there is no clear-cut favorite. But from what we've seen in rookie camp and mini camp that we had a few weeks ago, we got a chance to see a couple of these guys perform. Granted, it wasn't near what we're going to see in training camp or in any of the preseason games. But there were some things that I've noticed about both of these guys that are interesting, and they're going to warrant some paying attention to during camp and during the games. Gramatica has a very he looks like he has a very lazy kicking style. You know, he approaches the ball and sort of has a half-hearted, it looks like a half-hearted swing. His leg doesn't follow through very well. He often even swings it off to the side, which is, you tend to see that more in soccer,
yeah.
Especially with like soccer goalies when they do goal kicks. He is an Argentinian. He does have a soccer background, so that's not unusual. However, Gostkowski also was a four-year letterman in high school in soccer, as well as baseball and football.
Right.
He has a soccer background, but his technique is much more mechanical, much more what I would say is better for football kicking.
Yeah.
Gramatica is a classic soccer style kicker.
Right.
He even takes his steps back on an angle, whereas Gostkowski does the straight back and over to the side. Gramatica is very much, you can tell that he's a soccer player, but his style, I don't know, I'm not very comfortable whenever I see him kick. I'm not very confident in what I see.
Yeah.
Gostkowski, a little bit more technically accurate, a little bit more focused. He has proper follow-through, very, very strong. He's also taller. He's got about 5 inches of height over Gramatica and at least 30 or 40 pounds on him, which, you know, that's going to make a difference. Not so much in distance, because a lot of short guys can kick very far,
yeah.
But tackles on kickoffs, you know, a lot of opposing teams had to account for the fact that Adam Vinatieri possibly could make a tackle
not
on a kickoff.
Not afraid to mix it up with
to get in there. He actually, Vinatieri had, I believe, 27 career tackles and or assisted tackles in his career with New England. So, you know, if it's a matter of a guy who's 5'8", 170 coming at you to make a tackle, or 6'1", 212, you know,
the hope is that it never gets to the kicker, because that's a bad
obviously.
But technique aside, I guess there's certainly some other things to consider here, in that Gramatica had some very productive years, but his last productive year was, I think, 2003. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the NFL last year. 2004, he was released by Tampa Bay. I think he joined the Colts, but didn't have any field goal attempts. I think he was just in kickoffs.
Basically kickoff specialist, yeah.
And Gostkowski, obviously, coming out of the college ranks, you know, sort of an unknown there.
Right.
All right, well, there's going to be a lot of intrigue at this position, and for the first time in a while, and it'll be very interesting to see who gets the initial opportunities, who gets the most opportunities, and then when all is said and done, whose bags are sent packing and who's kicking off against Buffalo on September 10th.
My guess is that there's going to be a lot of alternating in the first couple of games and throughout training camp. You know, one day you might see Gramatica get the first few shots with the first team. The next day you might see Gostkowski. They're going to go back and forth with it a lot, because until somebody one of these guys clearly separates himself,
yeah,
then and you know what? That might not happen. It might go down to the wire, and it might come down to a gut decision by Belichick.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
No question. Not really any decisions to be made at the punter position. Josh Miller is now in the third year of what I believe was a five-year contract, mm-hmm. and probably one of the more consistent punters in the league. I don't think there's anything to worry about there. And the Patriots did not even bring in any other punters, even for reps, this summer. So
no need to.
Josh Miller's the guy.
Josh Miller is one of the best punters I've seen in the NFL in a long time.
He's also very tall.
Very tall, very lefty. Consistent.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's solid.
And at long snapper, same thing. Lonnie Paxton, also very consistent. Not much to worry about there. Of his 6 years in New England, he did have one injury that put him on injured reserve, and they need to scramble to get some long snappers in.
Yep.
And John Kondo.
If you need a snow angel at the last minute,
there's
Lonnie
no one
Paxton.
Better. No one with more experience, no one with better technique either.
Exactly.
John Kondo is also a long snapper on the roster out of Maryland. Mm-hmm. John Kondo has virtually no chance to make this roster.
Yeah, especially with the price of condos these days.
His salary must be exorbitant, but that's a good one right there. But the one the area to spend a little bit of time talking about mm-hmm. is the return game.
Yep.
If we look at who had the opportunities in both kickoff and punt returns last year, quite a few of these guys are no longer on the roster. Three gentlemen had punt returns last year: Tim Dwight, Troy Brown, and Bethel Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Only Troy Brown is still on this roster.
Right.
Six people had kickoff returns last year: Bethel Johnson, Kevin Falk, Andre Davis, Michael Cloud, Ellis Hobbs, and Tim Dwight. Only Hobbs, Dwight, and Falk are still here, and Falk only had four of those. So Ellis Hobbs is really your guy there. So there's definitely some competition sort of open for business there. An intriguing guy, and one guy who, as soon as he was drafted, not that I knew a lot about him, but one guy who I was very intrigued about is Willie Andrews, who the Patriots drafted out of Baylor in the seventh round,
mm-hmm.
and I think had the most returns in NCAA history, I believe, during his 4 years. He's a guy who, seventh round draft pick, that doesn't mean, you know, clearly there's a reason he was a seventh round pick, but I think he's got an opportunity maybe to open some eyes in the return game. What do you think about the return game?
Absolutely. Willie Andrews is a name that we've been hearing since the draft about potentially being in the return game. He's also, you know, a defensive back, so he has two opportunities to make the team. So I think I wouldn't be too surprised to see him get a lot of reps in preseason and in some of the games at the return position. Hobbs, I think, has the most potential out of that group to be somebody really good. But you always want to have two guys back there because you want to have a double threat.
No question
in
about
the kick
it.
Returns.
Yeah. And so Tim Dwight had the most punt returns last year. He had 32 punt returns. Troy Brown had 7. Bethel had only one punt return last year. So whether that's Troy Brown's a role for Troy Brown this year or someone else gets that job, you've got other guys too. Lawrence Maroney and Chad Jackson are both guys who have some experience in college.
Mm-hmm.
They got some reps in the return game at minicamp. Also, Rishay Caldwell, wide receiver they brought in, is another guy. So there's definitely some roles to be gained in training camp in the return game. Will be as interesting as the kicking position.
And one of the things to look for on especially on punt returns, not so much on kickoff returns, but on punt returns, guys like Tim Dwight were good in college and throughout the pros for one reason. When they got the ball, they went vertically up the field. They didn't stop. You get the ball, you go forward. You don't go east west. You go north. A lot of guys who try to spread it out, go side to side, dance a little bit, that's not going to work, especially in the NFL.
No,
you get the ball, you got to go forward. Your best chance of making a big play is get the ball and just try to find a quick opening.
And that's one thing that even in this past minicamp, Brad Seeley, the team's special teams coach, when they were going through some of the kickoff returns with some of these guys who don't have a lot of NFL experience in it, the one thing that I heard over and over with a bunch of different guys is go north to south, no east to west. You got to just get up and down, get up the field, and that's really the key. So, special teams is where you have to make a mark, and especially when you're a young guy. And when we talk about special teams, you're talking about coverage, but you're talking about the return game too is critical, and I think there's a lot of intrigue there and a lot to be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to wrap up the talk on special teams, and there haven't been any roster moves by this Patriots team over the last week. Generally, if not the quietest week on the NFL schedule, NFL season, then the calendar year, then it's pretty close. It's a holiday and not too much going on. But the things that we'll still be looking for over the coming weeks: Ty Law, Is he in the mix with the Patriots? Where is he going? Backup quarterback. I've been mentioning this pretty much every week. Will they bring in a backup quarterback?
Still some out there.
Or will they not? Draft picks being signed. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Paul Perillo and I did. The Chicago Bears have signed all of their draft picks.
Yeah, that's...
But the Patriots are far from the only team who have signed none of their draft picks. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking to see if there's any word on those being signed. So we still have a few more weeks before training camp begins. No shortage of things to discuss, and we'll be back next week to discuss them. Eric, your debut, a success.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. We'll get you back in the roster report.
Look forward
to it. In
the
future. That's going to wrap it up for today. The Patriots roster report podcast for this Friday, July the 7th. We're going to send it back to Laura.
Thanks, guys. If you'd like more information, remember to visit patriots.com for all the updates. That's all for this week. Come back next week for a new roster report. Thanks for listening, and go Pats.